Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to the On the Hill Radio Show. We start off with Mitch Gingrey singing the national anthem, reminding us of the legacy that was left to us in this great nation.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light, one so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
Thank you for tuning in to the On the Hill Radio Show. We start off with Mitch Gingrey singing the national anthem, reminding us of the legacy that was left to us in this great nation.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, one so proud.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And we just love that national anthem sung by Mitch Gingrey. And that was an old event that we had, Salute to the Keepers of Freedom. And I think it might have been back in 2008, but it's so beautiful to hear that song. It's very inspirational, as always, for all of us that love this country. And I'll go ahead and turn this over to our co-host, Ms. Barbara Moore. She is so good to remind us of our history. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. You know, today is the day, April 14th. It was back in 1865 that President Abraham Lincoln and his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, attended the theater, Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. There was a wonderful air of celebration throughout the whole city. The war was over. Robert E. Lee had surrendered his sword to Union General Ulysses S. Grant. And, everyone was celebrating, and so the president and Mrs. Lincoln were attending the theater, Ford's Theater, and of course it was there that the assassin fired the bullet that eventually took his life. He did not die right away. He was unconscious from that point, and I think it's important that we remember his last words. I think that's always important when someone dying or, you know, what's happening at the moment of their death. And what many Americans don't realize because we were not really taught this, was that Abraham Lincoln did not become a Christian until late in life. In fact, it was during the Civil War when he was president that he became a Christian. And he knew the Bible well all his life. He learned to read, reading the Bible. He read the Bible all his life. You look at his speeches, and they're filled with references to the Bible and hearkening back to the Bible. It influenced his thinking, even the way he spoke, the way he wrote. He was highly influenced by the Bible. He knew the Bible, but he didn't know the Savior to whom the Bible points to and reveals. He said that even when his precious son Willie died while he was president, that even at that point, he did not surrender his life to God. He believed in God. He had not yet turned his life over to God. He prayed, but he did not have that personal, intimate relationship with God through Christ. He was not born again until Gettysburg. He said it was at Gettysburg that then and there he consecrated his life to the Lord. And after this celebration, the war ending, and they were at the theater, well, he had plans. He had made plans to join Presbyterian Church there in Washington, D.C. He had never been a member of a church before. He thought it was hypocrisy for him to join with a Christian church and be in their membership when he was not yet a Christian. He knew that he was not. But after Gettysburg, he was. And he had made plans to join the body of Christ and attend the church. But his last words, he and his wife were talking, and she recalled his last words later on after he had died. And this is what she said his last words were. He said he wanted to visit the Holy Land and see those places hallowed by the footsteps of the Savior. He was saying there was no city he so much desired to see as Jerusalem. And with the words half spoken on his tongue, Jeru, the bullet of the assassin, entered the brain. And the soul of the good and great president was carried by the angels to the new Jerusalem above. So it was on this day, April 14th, 1865, that the assassin's bullet entered the brain of President Abraham Lincoln. He died the following day on April 15th. So I think it's important that we take note of these very important matters. And, you know, I've said it so many times, Diana, the more we learn about our history, and there is no end to the learning. There's no end to it. We may know a few things, but there's no end to our history and learning all about it. But the more we know, the more we love our country and the people of our land, the people of America. You know, it's just, so I wanted to share that, this being the day.
Wow. Thank you, Mrs. Barbara. How timely. I think, you know, what a great man. And in the very end, I love it because it reminds me of the George Washington. I think he was saying great things about soldiers, right? But it's even better to be a Christian soldier.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And, of course, George Washington was a Christian. He was not an adult when he became a Christian early in life. So his life was quite different. But both George Washington and Abraham Lincoln were Christians. And Diana, we will be seeing them one day in the New Jerusalem. Mm.
Wow. Isn't that amazing, Miss Barbara? That is just, you know, it's amazing to me what's in store ahead of us. And
wow.
I hope more people would realize there is so much more to the lot, to, you know, to our living than the life we have here on earth. Because really, this is just a mere shadowing, I guess. Maybe not even, because some people have led miserable lives. So maybe I shouldn't even say that. But it's just a mere whisper compared to what's ahead, which is eternity. I can't imagine eternity. Oh my God!
No, I don't think we're supposed to really comprehend it. I've never known anyone who does comprehend it. But the important thing to remember is that our time on earth is so very short. Even if we live a long life, it's still very short. I mean, it's not even a pinpoint compared to eternity. It's not even a blip, you know. But it is a dress rehearsal. It is, you know, we choose here on earth what happens to us throughout eternity. And God gives us that free will to receive him and surrender our lives to him. I was thinking about tomorrow we've got our Kids for Christ club that we do here in Dothan now for one of our schools. And I was thinking about that. You know, we talk about giving our hearts to the Lord. And I was thinking kind of putting it in a way a child could understand. My daughter-in-law, my precious daughter-in-law, had a heart attack when she was 35 years old. And she hovered between life and death for a month. And she pulled through, but her little heart was so weak that she needed a heart transplant, and which she was able to receive, and that was just a great gift from God. And she's just lives life to the fullest and has for some years now. But I was thinking about that in terms of, you know, the doctors had to remove her heart. They had to take it out of her body. They didn't just add a new heart to hers, to what she had. They had to remove her heart before they could put in the new heart. And that's how it is with us spiritually. And I think even a child can understand that, is that we cannot receive the heart of Jesus until we give him our heart. It's a heart transplant. It's an exchange. It's not a adding Jesus to our life type of thing. He can't do that. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. Who can know them? We have to surrender our hearts, our lives, our minds, our will, everything to him if we want him to dwell within us on this earth, as the Bible says, that he and his Father will come make their home within us. In our spirit, our spirits become joined. My spirit became joined to his. His became joined to mine when I surrendered my heart to him. You never seen anyone with two hearts. And even in a heart transplant, they don't add that heart. It has to be an exchange, and that heart has to be removed first. We give him our hearts, and he gives us his heart of love, his heart of compassion, his heart of desire that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So when we receive his heart, we become soul winners because that's his heart's desire. You know, what's important to him becomes important to me when I have his heart within me after I've given him mine. And so I just, I don't know, I was just thinking along these lines and thinking that when you talked about life here on earth is so short, it is, and the Lord gives us the choice of responding to him and giving our lives to him so that we can have his life within us now and throughout all eternity, throughout all eternity. But it has to be done in this life, you know.
Wow, indeed, Miss Barbara. And I guess, Miss Barbara, you want me to go ahead and start in prayer?
Oh, yes.
And then you can close us in prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we know that what we do on earth has eternal implications. We thank you, Lord, for men, great men such as Abraham Lincoln, Lord, who with reason and sound judgment knew that he needed to turn his life over to the Savior. Heavenly Father, we pray that many more listening will do the same, that they will realize none of us is smart enough. None of us is able, Lord, to really withstand the tides that's coming upon our families without help from the one who created us. Lord, we just thank you that you said to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, today there's so many questions all across this nation and, Lord, really throughout the world as to how can they defend their families. So many people out of work, so many going to lose their work, so many out of insurance or going to lose their insurance. And now there's a prospect of so many losing their children, which is the reason they work in the first place. And, Lord, we ask that you give us supernatural wisdom and discernment on how to fight a good fight so that the enemy does not steal the joy out of these precious children, that the enemy does not steal the promise that you have in these children, especially the ones that's going to come of age, Lord. And, Lord, we come against the tools of the enemy, the sexualization that we're seeing permeating even in our schools, Lord, to turn these children, these teenagers, into really slaves, Lord, slaves to the lust of the flesh. So, Lord, we thank you that you said to ask it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. And we ask that you empower, embolden, and give wisdom to all the parents, grandparents, those that love children, Lord, that are fighting for them. And, Lord, help us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Ms. Barbara, what a start. And you know
yeah.
what, Ms. Barbara?
Yeah.
That may be fitting, Ms. Barbara, analogy or perspective, because a lot of parents, Ms. Barbara, are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ after they are seeing the wreckage that's being brought to the mind, to the joy of their children. I think it's almost like you are, you know, if you could see the carnage of Gettysburg, to a parent, anything that destroys their child is monumental. And I think that's what, you know, in their mind's eye, they are seeing their biggest nightmare. I mean, not that parents really even dreamed this would come, but I think, I know I saw a posting of a grandparent. They don't want to see the light of joy disappear in that precious child. And that's what we're seeing happening all across the country.
Well, we are. And you know, what's happening in our school with Common Core, also what's happening in our families with the digital devices constantly being used by just about everyone in the family. You know, it's shocking to go to someone's home and see the entire family on their little digital devices, you know, and they're on there an awful lot. And it seems like the social aspect of life, which used to be a tiny part of it, just a tiny part of it, growing up, you know, that's changed dramatically. And with the handheld devices and things, computers and iPads and all that stuff, phones, cell phones, it's like it's a constant attention on those things, and that was never meant to be at all, never. And these things can be useful. These machines can be useful in some ways. But they're being misused when they take the hearts and minds of people away from living, you know, living life to the fullest and accomplishing great things in life, and you know, so you know we have so much happening to our children. It does seem like there is a war against our children for their hearts and for their minds and for their lives. We better wake up, and we better help other people wake up, because the time is passing quickly, and children only have a time for one. Yeah.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, I titled tonight's show, really, you know, we're so just blessed to have you, because, you know, it's like, how can we go forward in the right direction if we don't know where we came from, right? You have to have a point to know where you're at in order to be able to make the right move, right? You either fall off the cliff or you are safe, right? If you don't know where you're at, it's like operating
right
in the dark. You have to know where you're at and where you came from. And so when we look at the foundation of this nation, and everything really was parent, 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 you know, and I love it that you taught me that here were the, you know, founding, well, I should say, before they went on the Mayflower, where were they? They were in Holland, right? Part of them were from Holland. And why did they leave Holland? Because their children were being raised different from the way they wanted them to be raised. They wanted them to be God-loving children. So they go and they brave the seas that, you know, it was called the unknown, right? They were going to the unknown world. So can you imagine how brave they were, Miss Barbara, and how loving? What a sacrifice. I could just cry putting myself in their shoe of what it meant to give up everything for that child, for those children, and how important that faith was to them. And it is so different now. We know that the first education law was what you taught us, was the old Deluder Satan Act, where they wanted the children to be able to read so that they could compare the Bible with what the laws that were being made, because they knew unless it was biblical, you know, on that right foundation, they would go back to the same thing that they had. But yet, Ms. Barbara, those parents, you know, that had that input, right, Ms. Barbara? They were there. They were teaching their children, you know, read the Bible, you know, study God's word. They were so immersed in it. And I think you've told me this before, and David Barton, he said it before, they spent a lot of time in God's word.
But here we are, these institutions, Harvard and all that, that were formed by godly men, pastors, preachers, they no longer welcome Jesus Christ. And so, you know, it's no wonder. It's no wonder it's coming down the pike all the way through K through 12. And that is really the bottom line. I hate to say it, Ms. Barbara. I think that's what is the bottom line of Common Core. And let me read to you a letter that a mother received. And she doesn't mind you reading. You know, they just don't want their names on it. It's saying, I am in receipt of the blank letter to the school regarding your right to opt out of the academic testing that will be taking place in April and May. After reviewing your request in light of the law, I would like to inform you that the upcoming state assessments do not trigger the Pupils Protection Rights Act because of the questions do not infringe on any of the PPRA's 8 protected areas. It is the policy of the county to comply with the required participation of all students in grades 3 to 8 and grade 11 in reading, math, science, and other areas as made available by the State Department of Education. I am informing the principal and guidance counselor to test all students, including your children, with state and locally required tests on the designated days. Please be aware that excessive absence or unexcused absences may result in action by your school and administrator. You may contact, and they cited the name for the Family Policy Compliance Office, U.S. Department of Ed, if you have additional concerns about this decision. And I'm thinking, Ms. Barbara, this is a guarantee from them that the testing that the children are going to have does not need for us to be worried over. And I'm thinking, well, how is that when we can't even see them, Ms. Barbara? And we have a right, supposedly, to see them.
I don't know that anyone in Alabama has seen them. I don't know that Superintendent of Education Tommy Bice has seen them, because certainly the school board members have not. Now, if the school board members in the state of Alabama have not been allowed to see the tests that our children are going to be given, who has seen them? Has anyone seen these tests? Because they're coming from outside the state of Alabama.
Ms. Barbara, that sounds like a constitutional crisis to me.
Well, it does. It does. I mean, it's just plain wrong. But I think that we need to pursue this to find out exactly who has seen the tests. The teachers have not. I've never heard of anything. I don't know that the teachers can see them. I don't know that the teachers are allowed to see them.
It's supposed to be, they do say that they will give an example, but this is where I remember there's a video of Peg Luksic who fought outcome-based education. She says, as hard as it was then, they were able to see the test because it was paper and pencil tests. She says, can you imagine how difficult it is for us to be able to see because now it is computerized? And I'm thinking, you have the right, parents have the right to see these surveys before the test. And it's not saying sample of the surveys. It's saying they have the right to see them available for inspection by parents. So I'm thinking the parent needs to be asking, you know, if you cannot allow me to see the computerized test, let me see the handwritten test and let my child take the handwritten test and let that be it.
Yeah. Well, you know that some are going to have handwritten tests because there are not enough computers in many schools for children, and like here in Dothan, the iPads are not going to be passed out to the fourth through 12th grade until next year. So, and they don't have enough computers in the computer lab. So how is this going to, you know, why can't we see the handwritten?
I think there needs to be this is so, you know, the audacity of them to say that and then not to let the parents see. I think parents are going to have to ask to see them, because that protection of People Rights Amendment, and I'm just looking at it, PPRA is intended to protect the rights of parents and students in two ways. It seeks to ensure that schools and contractors make instructional materials available for inspection, if those materials will be used in connection with an ed-funded survey, analysis, or evaluation in which their children participate, and it seeks to ensure that schools and contractors obtain written parental consent before minor students are required to participate in any of these surveys that reveal information. And it's asking, okay, the 8 protected surveys are like political affiliations, mental and psychological problems, potentially embarrassing to the student, his or her family, sex, behavior, and attitudes, illegal, antisocial, self-incriminating, and demeaning behavior. Ms. Barbara, can I ask you this? Do you remember when we looked at one of the books that was a supplement, and it was, I think, a National Geographic supplement for social studies? Did it not have in there? And it was Common Core, and, you know, we just approved all the social studies. But already there we see this antisocial. When children are asked to do a survey of which part of the First Amendment they can take out, would you say that's antisocial? Or what would you say that is?
I would say that is sedition. I would classify that as sedition and against, you know, definitely in violation of, you know, the first, the very first thing that free people must do is to protect their freedom. And we protect our freedom here in this country. We protect the Constitution, and then the Constitution protects us. That is our legal. That's our legal guarantee to protect our freedom is the Constitution. Well, this is planting an idea in the minds of children that our protection of our freedom can be done away with, that's like normal, you know. It's conditioning children to believe other than what their parents and grandparents and our founding fathers believed. So,
if that's already there, don't you think that would lend the rest of their products questionable?
Yeah, I certainly do. Absolutely. Now, the People's Protection Rights Act, that's different from the original FERPA Act, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
FERPA.
What year is that? Because I've Googled it, and it does not come up.
Okay, the PPRA... Let's see. Let me look and see when it was put in, because I think I saw a lawsuit even back in 1999. That's why
our listeners
I think
put that
2005.
In. They're not
well,
2005?
Well, it says 1978. The Protection of People Rights Amendment of 1978, sometimes referred to as the Hatch Amendment, is a law intended
Henry
to protect
Hyde?
The rights of people.
I think it says hatch. Okay. Like orange.
Intended
hatch.
To protect the rights of pupils and the parents of pupils in programs funded by the United States Department of Ed. And certainly here in Alabama, ACT receives funding from the Department of Ed. So our assessments would be one of those that would be protected. But
It says PPRA was written to protect the rights of parents and students in two ways. First, any material used by the students in the surveys, analysis, or evaluations will be made available to parents to inspect prior to use with their child. It also ensures that schools and contractors acquire that consent, that written parental consent. So I don't think that it's not well known, Ms. Barbara. We haven't had a problem. I think we've trusted the school system for so long. I know people complain, well, you know, people don't show up for the state school board meetings. Ms. Barbara, we can't say parents aren't concerned about what's going on with their children because they all the time bring the children to ballet, football, everything. The children matter to the parents. I think it's a matter of we have trusted our school systems in the past. We didn't think we had a reason to watch over them like a hawk. Now we do.
Well, we certainly do. And I was able to pull this up now, Diana, under the Hatch Amendment. And it says absolutely connected with anything, it shall be available for inspection by parents or guardians. Wow. I mean, this, we need, wow. Pardon me.
We need to learn about that, don't we, Ms. Barbara?
Yes, we do. We need to know our rights. We need to know our responsibilities as well, and it is our responsibility to learn about our rights. Because if we don't learn about them, they can be ignored, as they're being ignored with Common Core and these assessments. So absolutely, we need to learn about this. And I would suggest that we all print these off and take them to our schools. And may I see the test that will be administered to my child. The Hatch Amendment guarantees that that we can do that.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I think that's a good mantra to put on our Facebook pages. That's a great one because I think that would take care of a lot. If a parent knows what's going to be on the test, and then, you know, we can feel safe. Yeah, sure, we'll sign. But if they don't get to see it, they don't know what's in it. So how can they... It's almost like, you know, we are supposed to trust them, but we know that these days you cannot just trust anymore, unfortunately. And that's really why this was done, because it's happened in the past.
Yes, it has. It happened in the past, even right here in Alabama, it happened. Surveys that you would not want your children to be a part of. They were given questions that of a nature that you would not even want them thinking along the lines of. We've got to move forward with this. Now, we do believe that here in Alabama, this will be the last year that these will be administered, because we believe that we are going to get new school board members to join Stephanie Bell and Betty Peters and Governor Bentley and the other fella, and his name escapes me, but he's been
Mike Parsons. Yeah, everyone needs to be studying who's running in the school board in all of the states, here in Alabama and all this. They will make a difference. And thank God, Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, if people will study all the candidates running in 50 days, who knows? You know, what you're saying, what a lot of people are saying is that, you know, we're going to have a change. But, folks, you're going to have to get involved. You're going to have to do your homework. You're going to have to study the candidates and really make very wise decisions, because it will affect the future of your child. But Ms. Barbara, I love it when it's like the Constitution. If we knew our
our rights in the Constitution. We're so thankful that you inform us because, you know, a lot of us were so busy just living the life. And, you know, these parents, they're so busy just getting through their day. And, you know, I hate to say it, Ms. Barbara, a lot of people are working two jobs. So it's so hard for them to even help the child at home. So, Ms. Barbara, it's just a frustrating world. And now you can't even trust the education system. And I know that there was one that was telling us about an advanced ed survey, online survey, and one of the questions was asking about, you know, how do you feel about your parents' job? And I'm thinking, what's the problem with that, Ms. Barbara?
Well, you know, it's a, at first, well, there's a lot wrong with it, but it's a touchy-feely. It's an emotional, affective, subjective, not objective. It has nothing to do with what the children have learned in school. It is not knowledge-based. It's not based upon the knowledge that they have acquired this year, which is what testing is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to test the feelings of a child about anything regarding his or her parents. This is totally out of line. It has no place in the public school system. And why would the government want to know that anyway? What business is it of theirs? None. It's just wrong. It's invasive. It invades the privacy of not only the child, but the parents, the family. It's just plain wrong and should not be allowed.
Wow, Ms. Barbara, I'm praying more people would know. And just, you know, when you think about the data that they're getting, Ms. Barbara, and like this year we're being told this really are being field tested all over the country. So it's not going to count for a lot of these states. And in Alabama, we're being told it's not going to count. But yet they're issuing these letters that you have to hop and jump and take the test, even though it's not going to count. And then when you think about it, when it is counted, Ms. Barbara, who's it going to count against?
What are they going to do with all this information that they gather in the surveys, in the assessments? Okay, it's not going to count on their grade, but it is going to count in that it's going to count for the companies that are accumulating all this data on our children and our families. The cow will be out of the barn, and there's no getting him back. The children are not going to be given back the data that they've given in these assessments. You know, it may not count on as a test grade, but it's being used for some purpose, and we know that when President Obama changed, without congressional approval, the FERPA law, which protected children and families against this intrusive stuff, that when he signed a change to the FERPA law, it allows third parties to collect data and even sell the data to private corporations. So, okay, maybe it's not going to count on it as a test grade, but it's going to count in a far worse way, right?
Well, and it's also going to be used to, and eventually like next year, not this year, to evaluate the teachers. So teachers really need to be concerned about this process.
Yeah, they do. They certainly do.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, I'm looking at the information when you were talking about FERPA, directory information that they're going to be able to get is not limited to the student's name.
address, telephone listing, electronic mail address, photograph, date and place of birth, major field of study, grade level, enrollment status, dates of attendance, participation in officially recognized activities and sports, weight and height of members of athletic teams, degrees, honors, awards received, and the most recent educational agency or institution attended. That's a lot of information, isn't it?
And that's only a tiny portion of it. There's over 400 data points that's being recommended by the Department of Education under Arne Duncan, and very, very personal. Mother's maiden name, political affiliation, religious affiliation, bus stops, social security numbers, personal information about health and well-being, attitudes, all sorts of information that should not be given to anyone at school. So, this is just absolutely unacceptable, and our children deserve to be protected. Our families deserve to be protected, and we just need to help people understand what's happening. And if they will, like here in our area, and Betty Peters has 13 counties, and if you know of anyone in these 13 counties, please call them. And a vote for Betty Peters is a vote to get rid of this Common Core and this data collection on our children. Betty Peters' district is Barber County, Chambers, Clay, Claiborne, Coffee, Dale, Geneva, Henry, Houston, Lee, Russell, Randolph, Tallapoosa, and a portion of Coosa County. So if you know of anyone in those areas, please call them and ask them if they want to get rid of the crazy math that parents and grandparents can't help their children with. Vote for Betty Peters. You want to get rid of the intrusive questions to your children? Vote for Betty Peters in those counties. So let's get the word out. Let's do all we can to make sure that we help get her elected, because she will stand up, has always stood up for what's right. She served for two terms, and she has always done what's right. And we need to reelect her.
And if you like Common Core, then okay, choose the other. But I think the more information people gather, they know what, you know, what the right thing is to do. Ms. Barbara, let's see. I think again, I love to look at the history, and you know, this nation was really, our freedoms are based on, we stand on somebody else's shoulder, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's been fought
That's
with blood,
truth.
Sweat, and tears. And, you know, it, education is a tool, really, to change a nation. We've seen it in history, and that's something that you have, you know, informed us time and again. So for us to just overlook this, I mean, it's really a very dangerous trend that we're on, very, very dangerous. I mean, when you've got, like, that survey that's questioning your First Amendment rights, oh, my goodness. This is really...
These are steps toward a total takeover of education by the government and away from parents. Everything that we have seen with the Common Core system defines parental authority, and it is stepping toward the place where the government gets children at younger and younger and younger ages, and the government determines what children are taught. Even some of the Christian schools have gone with Common Core online learning, even here in Dothan. And totally secular, totally atheist, But anyway, we know that when the government controls the minds of children and parents are being made to look stupid in the eyes of children, as they are in the mass, night after night, parents are unable to help their children even with second grade math, first grade math, sometimes kindergarten math. And by the way, they have kindergartners sending home homework for kindergarten children. How absurd and how horrible that is, that they're making kindergartners work when in fact they should know the joy of learning through play at that age. But anyway, we see that children are being taken over by the government, the control. We know that in other places where the governments have become so large and so controlling that in those places the children were eventually taught to turn their parents in if their parents do disapprove of government policies. Then the children were told to turn their parents in. And so, you know, anything that turns hearts and minds against parents is so wrong. And we see that Common Core moves in this direction. We're not saying that it happened this year with the first year of implementation, but this is just the beginning, and we know that we've seen enough to know that this is eventually the way it will go. So we're concerned, and we're raising that alarm, and we want to help others learn about this and get it stopped because we care about the children. We truly care about the children. And this is not so much a political. It is political, but there are both Republicans and Democrats that oppose undermining parental authority. And so we need to work together as Americans, as Alabamians, to get this stopped for the people of Alabama, our families and our children. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, Ms. Barbara, and again, I guess it highlights, you know, the parental rights. I mean, that's really what's at stake when we've got the copyrighted Common Core, and for teachers that are listening to us, administrators, superintendents that are listening to us and says, this is Alabama's very own College and Career Ready, I say to them, look up the definition of Alabama's College and Career Ready standards on the ESEA flexibility application, Windows 3, it says it is the Common Core that was adopted along with 40 other states, plus the Alabama standards, selected standards, which we know can only be 15% and it's not tested. That is what equals the Alabama College and Career Ready standards. So they, Ms. Barbara, it's so sad because they're educators that tells students to do their homework every day, yet they're not doing their own homework. And to me, it's dangerous for teachers and principals because we know the way of the future is going to be teachers will not be teaching. They'll be facilitating.
It's going to hurt teachers terribly. That's part of the plan, to turn them from teachers into facilitators, monitors, monitoring the digital devices, basically. And everything is going to be put on those. So, but not only in that way, when the evaluations are tied, evaluations of teachers are tied to the testing, That hurts teachers, and it just hurts. Teachers have children, too. We're talking about their children as well. unless they put them in private school, but that's no guarantee anymore because some of the private schools are going to this nonsense of Common Core. So it's we've got to do our best. We see a little turning, don't we, in some other places particularly. People are waking up and finding out more about it. And teachers are, they may be speaking anonymously, but teachers are voicing their concerns. And so that's a real positive. We do see some lights going on, coming on, and light bulbs lighting up. And some people are beginning to understand what it is. So that's encouraging. And we've got to get it stopped. We've got to get it stopped if we are to have a future, if we are to maintain freedom in this country. It's as simple as that.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I forgot to mention, you know, in this weekend's meeting that we had, one of the mothers had shown us a sample of the, you know, school book and what was being taught. And that right there, to me, it really sounds like, you know, it is falling into that window that the PPRA warns about and is intended to protect. So we have a lot to bring out in the open, and I'm hoping that God will help us. But I know we've run out of time, Ms. Barbara. How can this is such a big issue. And I thank God that more parents are waking up. But, Ms. Barbara, I think it's like, you know, people are going to have to, unfortunately, I think, make a stand. And I know it's very hard, though, Ms. Barbara, because of the children. We don't want the children to be ostracized. We don't want their feelings hurt. But then on the other side, the equation is what is going on in the mind of a child with tests that you cannot see. So if you're willing to let them take the test, you need to at least know what is in the test. I think that's the least, you know, a parent would want to do. And it is your right. Most parents don't know they have a right. They need to know they have a right to see, because it's almost like just letting whatever happen. And in today's world, that is not a good thing. And I think it's, again, it's taking away that parental responsibility that God has gifted us, has given us. I mean, these children are looking to us to be the ones to protect them. God gave them to us to protect them. And we pretty much need to do that or have the repercussions of the future that we've been warned about by Joan Landis. So anyway, that's a tall order. It's very hard. And I guess, as always, Ms. Barbara, we have to give it to God and ask parents to really do the same, don't we?
Yes, we do. And let's remember that we're running out of time. I believe the testing starts April 28th, and so we need to be get on this right away. Well, let's pray. Let's take this to the Lord, and let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that we are not alone, that you are with us. And, Father, we believe that this is displeasing in your sight, Father. We know it is. And so, Father, we are doing everything we can, Father, to wake people up about what is happening to our children, to your children. Father, you have given them life, and you desire to give them spiritual life as well. We pray, Father, as always, we just continue to pray for that great awakening. We acknowledge, oh God, that nothing good will happen anywhere, anytime, without you. So, Father, we pray that throughout this land and throughout the world, Father, we pray for hearts and minds to be awakened to your reality, your truth, and that many, many, many would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the beginning, Father. That's the beginning of our spiritual walk with you, Lord, where we get to know you. We learn what pleases you and what displeases you. Father, you said in your word that it's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and be thrown into the sea rather than cause one of your little ones to stumble. Father, we see many stumbling blocks in this Common Core education that will cause children and young people to stumble and turn away from you and away from their parents. So, Father, we're just expressing, Lord, we express our need for you. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move across this land and awaken people, Father. Open eyes, O God, that we might have understanding of what's going on, like the men of Issachar, Lord, where they had an understanding of the times. Father, we need that desperately now. So that's what we pray for tonight, Father, that we would be like the men of Issachar, having an understanding of the times. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, O God, throughout this great land, that many will come to know you, love you, and serve you, that what you love, we will love, and what you despise, Father, we will despise. And we pray all this, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. It's so good to be able to go and give it to God. So I hope the parents were encouraged. He will help us when we ask him. And I would like to also say we are going to post our new opt-out forms if need be as things develop, and it will be on cityonahill.tv. Go look under Operation Halt Common Core that's on the navigation bar. And so we will post more information on the opt-out, so hopefully you can use this information. So, Ms. Barbara, as always, it's so good to talk about history, and it's so good to talk about the hand of God in all these things.
Yes.
So thank you, Ms. Barbara.
My pleasure.
And with that, we'll say goodnight, and God bless each and every one listening to us. We hope that it has encouraged you, emboldened you. May the Lord shine his face upon you, and thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Good night.
Good night, everyone.